If we're going to bring harmony in the church as a model to harmony in the nation, we got to stop ignoring the whole counsel of God. What would you think about a referee who took off his jersey and put on the jersey of one of the other two teams? He'd be a Benedict Arnold to his designated responsibility. It is unfortunate today that we've had Christians who put on Republican jerseys, other Christians who put on Democratic jerseys, and wonder why they're still chaotic on the field, because they have walked away from a kingdom jersey. And as a result, the failed church has given a great model to how to have a failing culture by our unwillingness, refusal, or compromise in dealing with the divine prescription.
You know what we're about to do? We're about to get real. We're about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors. The scary ones. The ones that make you feel uncomfortable. That's where we're going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
So this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle, and I'm Brian. If you don't want to miss anything, all you have to do is hit the subscribe button to get a notification whenever we drop a new episode. This is the Brian and Janelle podcast.
Well, I used to look forward to a presidential election cycle years ago before I got into Christian radio. I really do like politics. I started getting into radio as a medium and as something I really loved by political talk radio.
Was it easier to talk about it then, or was it always something that was like as divisive as it is now, or you have to be super careful?
There was a season when you could bring up issues that crossed political and biblical boundaries, yeah, per se, and have really safe, healthy discussions about it among followers of Christ. But we've sadly fallen victim to what the rest of the country has, which is that it's almost undiscussable without, yeah, vitriol and an unbiblical, not fruits of the Spirit showing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a serious lack of seeking truth, just repeating the same rumor you heard or you read on Facebook,
yeah,
which often is not true, but because you read it and it agrees with you, you'll shout it to your dying breath.
Yeah.
Right. So I've not liked it per se all that much, but I also am committed to, you know, letting God transform how I think, examining the scriptures to help you take the next step in your walk with Christ by looking at today's issues from a biblical perspective. And I've been hanging on to this note from a listener that asked us to talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
But this is perhaps the perfect moment, because we're finally at the point now where, at least in our own minds, we can see that our country, in the presidential portion of the election coming up in November, has the full ticket of the major parties selected. Yeah. Now, again, we are nonpartisan. Somebody mentioned, I thought you don't talk about politics. No, we don't talk about partisan politics. We don't endorse candidates. Mm-hmm. We don't favor any side. We don't do any of that. But there's plenty of issues that cross the lines between Bible and politics. Best example for Christians in this world today would be abortion.
Yeah.
It's a political issue.
Right.
But it's clearly a biblical issue.
Yes, it is.
For which God hates it, because it's the destruction of human life. You know, I mean, yeah, so that's an easy one for me to talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
But this question from a listener is much more like a 30,000-foot view question that's worth talking about. But let me be clear. We don't want to talk about individual candidates and their platforms. I don't want you to make fun of the president. I don't want you to make fun of the former vice president. We don't do that here. If you do that.
Oh my goodness, you sound like you're talking to your class.
Well, I hate it, but this sometimes, yeah, I have to do this.
It's
like,
true.
Like, we're not turning you off of the radio if you start to be derogatory towards politicians in our country because we disagree with you. We're doing it because we are committed to this, and you're not going to make fun of leaders on this radio station because it's not biblical.
That's right.
It's not honoring to government authority, yeah, in any sense. So if we turn you off because you don't listen,
mm-hmm,
It's not because we disagree with you.
And Ecclesiastes warns you, you know, a little bird may tell the king what you said,
yeah,
which was a threat to your physical life, because back then the kings could say, I heard what you said about me, off with your head.
Yes.
But scripture also says, don't fear the one that can hurt your body, fear the one who can hurt your body and soul, because God can hear what you're saying. He knows.
So with that really awkward thing in mind, this is a great topic to discuss. Listener wrote and said, I would like to hear discussed if Christians have an obligation to vote. We have within a mile of us two dedicated Christian families who do know one another, and they do not believe in voting. They claim they live in another kingdom and they're not going to get involved in this world. Each family travels about 30 miles and are active in their church, but they really don't talk to their neighbors much. They don't really care much about world affairs, but they asked me who I'm voting for.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, that is.
But each tells me they're not going to get involved in worldly affairs. And she wants to know, because this made her think, are we as Christians obligated to vote? No, maybe it's you're asking that question because you're like her. You have neighbors who go, oh, well, I don't get involved in worldly affairs. Or maybe it's because you can look at the candidates involved and you can say anything from, I love one and I hate the other, to I hate them both, to I love them both.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
And one of your solutions might be, I don't know what to do here. Maybe I'm just going to sit this one out. But should we? That's your question.
I like what you said. There's that you talked about. If you're stuck, you don't know who to vote for. But even the idea, which I've heard of churches and believers through the civil rights movement, even today, the idea of we're not about worldly matters. We're about the church. So the idea of that's not an obligation. That's not something I get involved in. Have you heard that recently, that attitude, besides this email? Should we be concerned about secular matters?
There are people who would say we shouldn't be, but I just wholeheartedly disagree. I think that oftentimes government impacts Christian people.
Mm.
And clearly there's interaction between people and government in the Bible. Paul appealed to his citizenship in Rome as a way for him to avoid being like bludgeoned to death or like imprisoned falsely. You had Jesus talk about taxation specifically, that we are to pay taxes. He made that very clear. And so Christian interaction with government is a thing that happens in the Bible and a thing that we're specifically told to honor government authority. But I don't know that there's a clear answer on this one. And I would love to know what you think, family. Are Christians obligated to vote?
Jacob from Maslin says, I love the question that your listener asked. I don't think you can make an argument from scripture that Christians are required to vote. However, my personal conviction is that I am called to love my neighbor and to look out for the weak and oppressed. He sounds like it's you texting yourself. And one of the ways I have the ability to do that is by being a part of the decision of who will lead the country, my state, or my hometown. So I choose to vote in every election so that I can hopefully affect a change in the world in which I am called to be a light. That's hard. In every election, because we talk about being nonpartisan, and can't you see how many believers are stuck picking, like no matter what you pick, you're picking something that's like, man, I can't stand by this. A lot of people sit out because of that in some elections.
Well, and see, we don't realize that that's always been true because Jesus has never run for office in America.
Right.
Therefore, there's never been a candidate who perfectly fits with biblical thinking and Jesus' expectation for our lives. And so in some sense, anyone who's ever voted has never agreed 100% with a candidate. So do you think he's right that there's no clear biblical order, so to speak, for us to vote? Like, you better vote.
Democracy wasn't a thing back when the Bible was being written.
Interestingly,
so it wasn't like go and make sure you're a citizen and then go vote. In terms of the way we see things right now.
Now, technically, democracy was an idea that existed at the time because the Greeks invented it. They had a direct democracy in Athens, and that predated the Roman Empire. However, Christians in the Roman Empire didn't get to vote for Caesar. So in the time of the writing of the scriptures in the New Testament, there really was no, like, nobody taught on it because, in a sense, why would you? Because it wasn't a thing.
Right.
Direct democracy was long gone by the time of the first century. I mean, you could say that. I don't know.
Gregory in Cleveland, what are your thoughts?
To me, my answer is kind of clear. You just look which side God supports, and there's your answer.
Do you think a Christian is obligated to vote in general, or can they sit out an election if they're not happy?
Yes, because if there's sin going on, I know you got to weigh out the greater sin, but God loves life. You got to know where God is at, and then you have to, like, you have to voice it, even though one person doesn't make the outcome, but you have to say, like, it could be other sins, and you come to a fellow Christian, and you kind of pick out nicely that was bad, you know? The same thing. You have to say something, and that's like a form of voting. You have to pick out where Christ is at.
There you go.
On his values.
Yeah, no, and I would bet you speak for a lot of people there, Gregory, in a sense of, like, it's our opportunity to be salt and light, per se, in a very specific and tangible way. Appreciate the call, Gregory from Cleveland. When we come back, more of your thoughts, as our listening family member wants to know, do Christians have an obligation to vote? We're talking about not partisan politics here, but politics in general, based on a listener question, a really good one. One of our listening families said she interacted with some neighbors who said that they're believers and they're not going to vote because they're not of this world. And she said, I'd love to hear this discussed, if Christians have an obligation to vote. What say you?
Jason in Akron, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts were, if Christians did not vote, we have to think about where our country would end up and where it would be right now if no Christians were voting. And so my thought is, yes, absolutely. Biblically, can I find something in the Bible that says we should vote? I can't think of anything, no. But morally, yes, I think we should be doing that.
And so the whole concept would be that if more and more Christians started doing that, we would have more and more unbiblical thinking leading in our country. And when we have an opportunity to do so, why would we do that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to think of the hot-button topics, you know, abortion, sure, gay marriage, et cetera, and think about where the politicians stand on those points and then make our decision based off of some of those.
Jason, I appreciate the comments on that. Real succinct, real to the point. And I tell you what, it's something to really consider, isn't it? Because there's a lot of people who may be frustrated with 2020 politics or 2016 politics and just want to brush it off completely.
Michelle in Akron, so what do you think? Is it our obligation to vote?
Well, I wouldn't use the word obligation. I think it's a privilege to vote. And I think that our founding fathers came to this country for religious liberty. And so again, as the previous caller said, I think it's a moral obligation to protect life and to protect marriage and to protect religious freedom. Thank you for what you do. I really appreciate Moody Radio.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. Would you go as far as to say if somebody looked at you and said, oh, you know, I don't think I'm going to vote this time. I can't stomach the whole thing. So I'm just going to stay home. Would you tell them they're sinning or would you not go that far?
I wouldn't tell them they're sinning. I would just bring up those same points and say, you know, the president's responsible also for appointing judges who, you know, in this day and age tend to make the laws. And so, yeah, there's a lot that is being affected. So when you think about children who could be aborted or marriage and the sanctity of marriage and religious liberty, I think those are really key points. We're all sinners. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go so far as to say hypocrisy, but I think it's we're sinners. Everybody's a sinner, like you said. Unless Jesus is running, you're voting for a sinner.
That's right.
That's you have to do the best you can.
Yeah, you do. Thanks so much, Michelle. I appreciate your thoughts on that. And I could tell you're working real hard to stay nonpartisan.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that because we don't want to be that kind of radio station at all. We want Christ to be glorified and we want to honor the scriptures. Admonition for us to honor government authority. So
right.
Very good. Thank you. Do you think Christians have an obligation to vote? One of your listening family wants to know.
David in Newcastle, what do you think?
My question is, did Esther vote? And she took her life in her hands to do so.
Interesting analogy. So you're saying like her risking her life to go talk to the king was in a sense
was
a vote.
Yes, it was.
I can't disagree with that per se. Yeah. Excellent. Did you come up with that yourself or did you read that somewhere?
No, I came up with it myself.
Atta guy.
Good
I love
you.
That you're reading your Bible. Thanks, David in Newcastle.
Conrad in Hartville, what do you think? Is it our obligation to vote?
Well, I'm going to offer a different viewpoint here. I would say, no, it's not. In fact, I guess it was the way I was raised, but I feel like I would agree with the opinion that we are not of this world. We're of a different kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like we definitely have an obligation to pray for our leaders.
Yeah.
But I really feel like in order to change people, we're called to change them through relationships and changing their heart. God changes the heart. And I don't think legislation can do that. And that's, I guess, the approach that I would take with it. That's why I do not vote.
Have you felt that way your whole life, or is it a reflection of modern politics and vitriol, or how did you come to this conclusion?
Yes, I have felt that way my whole life. I mean, it's something that my dad felt the same way. So, you know, it's not something I came up with myself, I guess. But yeah, that's how I felt my whole life.
Fascinating stuff. And I know you're not alone, because this listener who texted us said that there was two neighbors she's got that follow Jesus who feel the same way you do. So you're not alone. And I'm glad you called, because, you know, we love hearing other perspectives here.
Yeah, I'm really impressed that you guys are discussing this. I know I didn't really figure you would ever discuss this on the station, because I know how most people feel about it. I'm like, hey, this is good to get other viewpoints out there. I don't feel like you should not, you know, get involved with anything as far as current events and things like that. But I just feel like there's better ways to reach people's hearts.
Yeah, and if your focus is on discipleship, I can see how you would come to that conclusion. And you're right, the Bible's clear about we have to pray for our leaders, but it never says thou shalt vote either. So I don't, you know, as our last caller said, she can't call it a sin because it's not a specific thing we're called to do.
Obviously, if I don't vote, I have to accept the results of that.
Right, yeah.
It may not be what I like, but I'm okay with that.
Makes sense. I love when people call with the opinions that run against the mainstream, but also use scripture as their background.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been listening to the radio station, brother?
No, my whole life.
Praise God.
Oh, cool.
Praise God. Awesome. No,
I remember Bob Devine very well. He used to come and visit the business that my parents had.
Oh.
And he would always bring us. Yep. Bob Devine and his wife came and sang for my dad in the hospital when he was on his deathbed.
Aww.
Really?
Yep. It was very, very neat. Very neat.
Oh, wow. What a story. And thank you for your faithfulness to WCRF over the years, brother. I really appreciate it, Conrad. And now, let's be clear. You heard somebody's going to go, well, Brian got all excited because he doesn't want Christians to vote.
Yeah,
no,
Brian,
no. Let's be clear. Brian got very excited because Brian loves it when Christians have nuanced thinking and when we can have different perspectives based on scripture on things. That gets Brian very excited. Brian is not taking a position at all on whether or not Christians should vote. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have much more time for you to talk about this question from a listener, whether or not Christians have an obligation to vote. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7, why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you've got that huge log in your own eye? As in, hypocrisy alert. So how about this one? Consider this. If you're passionate about voting, you ever skipped a local election?
Oh.
Did you vote for that school board that's just made a decision that impacts your entire community?
That one's hard, because it's like you see a whole lot of names. So you're like, who are these people and what do they believe?
Because remember, elections don't happen every 4 years.
Yeah.
They happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so if you are passionate about the importance of voting, we've learned this year more than any other year that local elections matter perhaps more than national elections.
Yeah.
So can you with a good conscience say that if you're that passionate, you've never skipped a local election? How about this one? You ever left anything blank in a ballot? You know, there's about two dozen judges on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have went, I don't know about that.
Hello,
well, wait a minute. I thought you thought Christians were morally obligated to vote for everyone. Or do you just mean that when it comes to a president? I'm asking myself these questions as well. I don't want to be a hypocrite here.
Yeah.
We are talking about a great text we got from a listener asking a question maybe a week ago or so. She was talking to some neighbors who said, hey, we're Christians and we don't think Christians should vote. And she was like, what? And she goes, hey, I'd love to hear you guys discuss this with a listening family, whether or not Christians have an obligation to vote. We are nonpartisan. That doesn't mean we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about partisan politics.
But can you talk like the teacher again? Do that part again.
If you call us and you do something unbiblical or you try to be partisan, we are not going to keep you on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so don't say Brian hangs up with people he disagrees with. No, Brian hangs up with people that don't follow the rules.
Right.
Okay.
And so also tied with that, we believe very strongly that Romans 13 and 1 Peter And Ecclesiastes make it clear we're supposed to honor government authority, respect them. And so we don't make fun of politicians on this radio station either. I don't care what party they're from. We respect them.
Will in Cleveland, do you think that we have a biblical obligation to vote?
Well, according to the scriptures, and that's what all Christians should really base all of their decisions on.
That's right.
Because that's what we preach. And the Bible gives solid reasons for a specific course. And if you look in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 15, Jesus refused to accept political office. Then when you go deeper into the book of John, John chapter 17, verses 14 and 16, and then chapter 18, verse 36, you see that we are to be no part of the world and that we should not take sides in political issues. And then if you read again in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 13 to 17, we can talk all day. But I was like, as a Christian, we need to have some proof back up our words. So when we go to why our governments, and it doesn't matter if it's just here in this country, because all of our Christian brothers are all over the world.
That's right.
And if you think about history and you look at the world wars, there were Christians who actually picked up arms and fought against each other in the First and Second World Wars.
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself, are we going to support something like that? And it goes further to show that as a Christian, we should maintain our neutrality when it comes to different countries, because the real government that we should be voting for is God's government, because Matthew 24:14 says it. And that's what we're admonished to preach to others and to help other people get baptized and come to Christianity. And if we keep getting involved in political affairs, then how can we say we're neutral? And then by remaining neutral, we're able to speak and preach to others. And really, when we look in the book of Psalms 56:11, we see how all of the world problems can be solved. And people who avoid political deviation and join in unity as Christians, Colossians 3:14 and 1 Peter 2:17, help us to admonish to what Christians are really supposed to be about. And with that, I agree with Conrad. Like, I think when you start picking and choosing a man, then you're never going to get your solution to your problem, because the real solution to our problems is what Christ came to die for, and that's God's right to give us our direction.
I love that your guiding principle is what the show is about, which is Romans 12:2. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Mm-hmm. That's your whole premise is like, hey, we got to know what the Bible says about this. I love that about what you're saying. And it also seems to me that if I'm reading between the lines, it pains you a bit how much disunity there is among believers because of politics.
Yes. It divides people from unity. Like, the whole premise of being a Christian is for us to be united together. And that's why all of a sudden, even during the first century, like a lot of the Christians, they didn't vote. Even after the government started forming different governments, they just stayed neutral. And now it makes people feel some type of way when they don't stand for something. They feel like they're not standing for anything. But the truth be told is, if you stand with God and you don't vote for either party, you're admonishing the scriptures that says you want God's government or his kingdom to come. And by asking the man to fix it, then you're giving them more opportunity for these problems to persist.
I would love your reaction to this, Will, just as like a gentle point of discussion. I found a great article from Gospel Coalition, and it makes the opposite point of yours, why Christians should vote. And he makes one point I think it's worth mentioning. This is a perfect time for it. He says, the advent of constitutional democracy then complicates things for the contemporary believer. For when we apply Romans 13 to our own political situation, it's not simply a matter of submitting to an external political authority. As citizens of a constitutional democracy, we the people are the authority, even if the practice was never quite lived up to in theory. Thus, we're in a curious position relative to most of Christian history. We are called to yield to authority, yet we also wield authority. To complicate matters even further, we share that authority with non-believers. And so what does that mean for voting? He said it means that Christians in a democracy live under an authority that formally solicits our view of a good life, and we are actually in authority, so we should participate in it. It is his ultimate point. What's your reaction to that?
It goes back to the scriptures. I said, we can make our own rules all day, but the Bible states that we should be no part of this world. Like Jesus said, I am no part of this world. And picking a side on this side of things shows that we don't support God and God's thoughts, because
individuals, whether it be any party in any government, everybody has an alternate agenda. Mm-hmm. And only agenda that we should be promoting at all times is God's way.
And that's why, to be honest with you, one of the many reasons I'm passionate about being nonpartisan, because I want people to affiliate with me with Jesus and no one else.
Yeah,
exactly.
But maybe Ron a close second, but no, but Jesus for sure. Will, that's great stuff. I appreciate your willingness to have a little bit more of an ongoing dialogue there.
Tanette in Alliance, what do you think? Is it our biblical obligation to vote?
I don't think that it's a biblical obligation, but I think that as Christians, we're called to be God's hands and his feet. And that means getting the word out, whichever way possible that may be. I mean, if we don't vote, then our rights are going to be taken away to be able to worship him and praise him as we've seen previously. So I kind of think that we should.
If for no other reason than to protect our religious liberty, you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was quoting that Gospel Coalition article a moment ago, I really think it does make it a little more head-scratching complicated for a Christian to think that we're supposed to honor government authority, and yet in some sense we are the government in America as a representative democracy. And so in a sense, we've been handed a voice and handed power. Mm-hmm. And Romans 13 says that we're supposed to, that the government is there to institute justice and good. So we're almost obligated to do that in some sense, perhaps.
That's kind of how I feel, because if someone takes away my voice to be God's hands and his feet, how will they know except we tell them? So yeah. If I don't have that voice to tell them, then how can I do that?
So then, Tanette, what do you think? Our last caller was talking about affiliation with the world can really cause disunity and be an issue. So then do you vote, but just be real quiet about it so you don't get associated with some, you know, person that doesn't represent Jesus well?
Well, the way that I vote is I vote the way that the Holy Spirit that's within me tells me to. I mean, I'm not one of those people that is straight left or straight right. I vote where God tells me to, because God will put the person in office that he wants to have in office that will lead us in the correct way. But I think that a lot of Christians have actually been silent and not been speaking up and using their authority that they have been given. And it caused a real debacle in this world.
Yeah, definitely. We're up against a quick break and a few more minutes to talk about this very issue. Again, don't forget, we'll continue and wrap up the discussion of whether or not Christians are obligated to vote in just a moment. So glad to be in the Moody Radio family. I tell you, this has just been a really compelling discussion. Thank you so much, everybody, for being a part of it, as we've had a lot of thought-provoking, biblically-focused ideas in here, and no one's trying to sneak in the partisan stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. People have really thought out their position, oftentimes finding scripture to support it, or freely acknowledging, I can't think of any scripture, but this is just how I feel.
Yeah, and here's some wisdom that goes with it.
Yeah.
But again, just as before we get to our last few calls and comments on this, just a quick reminder if you're tuning in, the question we're talking about is whether or not Christians are obligated to vote, as one listener wants to know. She wants to hear you talk about this. But we are nonpartisan. We will not endorse any particular candidate of any party. I don't care if it's one of the main two or a tertiary party of some sort. We're not going to do that. And we honor government authority here. We do not make fun of any political leader. We don't call them names. We don't make light of them. We respect them.
Yeah.
So I have to bring that up because people like to do that sometimes and it makes me sad. We don't even need to in this discussion though, because it's not about individuals. It's about our right as Americans, whether or not it's a Christian obligation to vote.
Jamie in Greenville, is it our obligation?
I believe so, yes.
Why?
I think back to Acts 6, you know, the Hellenistic widows were being neglected.
Yes.
And so they actually chose seven men. They had in prior passages, there were thousands of people coming to Christ at that point. So out of thousands of people, they picked seven men for them to appoint, that they were given the direction, pick seven men, and then we will appoint them. So how did they choose those seven men? It may not be known, but at least, you know, out of those thousands of people, there were probably many that were qualified to do this job. But it says that they picked seven. And how do you think they did it? I don't think they just drew them out of a hat. I think they actually, you know, gave their opinion about that.
Yeah.
And your first caller was very nice, except one thing that I would point out, we are to be in this world, but not of this world.
Correct.
When we are in this world, Christ even said to Pontius Pilate that his kingdom was not now, but he was there. He was in it. Mm-hmm. He was in it. He was doing what he needed to do to fulfill what his Father, God, required of him. And we have a great responsibility. It is our requirement to protect the people around us.
Yeah.
Our government is not perfect. The reason it's not perfect is because a lot of Christians have abdicated their responsibility and just said, we're not going to do this anymore. But I believe that we need to be in there. We don't need to fight about it. We can be silent. We can let our singular voice, our responsibility in the vote, speak for ourselves. But again, things are the way they are because we live in a fallen world. We can only do so much to try and help out. But I believe that our responsibility, as you have pointed out, because of our Constitution, it is our constitutional right and obligation to do so. So I'm totally 100% behind that.
Well, and I'm really compelled by your Act 6 reference. I never even thought of it that way. But
yeah, but
to add a layer to it, Jamie, even consider this. There was a problem in the Christian culture at that time among those thousands of people that it was the Greek widows complaining that there was an unequal distribution. It was a social program of food.
Right.
And they cried out for the injustice and asked for it to be fixed. And you're right. What they did was they ultimately figured out a way to appoint some people, probably voting in some way, to solve this problem. And that sounds a lot like voting. It sounds a lot like it. I think that's a great example and a compelling argument to make. Jamie, I appreciate it so much. How long have you been in the Moody Radio family?
Oh, I've been listening since I was saved in 2002, so about 18 years.
Praise God. Glad you're with us, Jamie. God bless you, brother. Really interesting point. I never thought of it that way.
Jim and Burton, what do you think? Is it our obligation to vote?
Obligation's an interesting word. You know, we're the people that were the Good Samaritan, the guy that was beat up and everything, people that walked by him, did they feel obligated to help him? Well, somebody did, and I think they were the right one. But the biggest thing that kind of troubles me is what the previous guy was talking about, is people seem to have the wrong idea of what the world is. The world isn't this earth. I mean, we need the earth. We're in the world. We eat the food of the world. We get clothes from the world. We are citizens of the countries of the world. So it's more a matter of the system of thinking that is the world and not the physical things. And so if we're receiving all these things of the world, we should really, through just plain biblical wisdom, go out and vote. It'd be good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd have to find a compelling reason for the Bible to compel me not to vote in this case, right? It's kind of what you're saying.
Right.
And yeah, and yes. I can't find a passage that says, please be sure not to vote, that thouest shall notest votest. Right. No, and I agree with what you're saying on that. I think that makes a lot of sense. We need to be cautious in understanding that we're not called to totally ignore the world at all. I mean, how do we make disciples if we ignore the world?
We get driver's licenses. Those are from the world, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jim. I love hearing from you and from Burton. But still, though, I don't, you know, when there isn't a specific call to do something or an admonition to not do something, there's still freedom allowed. And it's interesting, too. Both sides of this, very passionate about their positions. Any final observations from the team here as we start to wrap this up?
I like the idea of being salt and light and how that is a way to speak up as a believer and have an impact and influence in the world. And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I like the idea. I think it was Jason from Akron early on who was saying really succinct that it's a way we have to make a difference. And if Christians didn't vote, then the world would be changing. We wouldn't be represented. Our viewpoint wouldn't be represented. So those with other viewpoints would have all the power and authority. And I would just say, if I had a friend who said, I'm not going to vote, and then after the election, I heard him complaining about something, I would get in his face and I'd be like, how'd your candidate handle that?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't vote, then don't complain.
Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
You can also hang with us live, weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Mike Reynolds, and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.